All right, let's look back together here in Leviticus chapter 4. And we want to talk about the blood before the Lord. The blood before the Lord. There's three times here that it talks about before the Lord. Down in verse 4, it says, "He shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord." And then in verse 6, "And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." And there's one thing that we face often in the Scripture, and that's the blood. The blood. The Bible talks an awful lot about the blood. You know, in God Himself, the first shedding of blood in the Old Testament that we see was what God's blood shed that He clothed Adam and Eve with. That's the first one we know of anyway, because there had to be the shedding of blood to cover their nakedness. But when you talk about the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no payment for sin. Sins can't be done away with without the blood. Look in Leviticus 17. Look in Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17, 11. You know, and if I tell you, and our Lord Jesus Christ, it says about Him that He was a lamb slain without spot and without blemish. We've come unto Christ, that blessed Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. Precious blood of Christ is what it's called. But He said here, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." We know that. We know that. People have to sometimes take transfusions because their blood gets bad. Get an automobile wreck. And something, you know, you have to have blood. Because if you lose your blood or your blood quits flowing, your heart's... you're going just like that. You get an infection in your blood. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that ourselves. But God says this, "And I have given the blood." Here's what He said. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement or a sacrifice for your sins. It is the blood that maketh an atonement." And if when it comes to preaching the blood, He talks about the speaking blood. The blood of Christ through the everlasting covenant. And if there's any apologies that we ought to make in reference to preaching on the blood of Christ, is that we don't preach on it enough. We don't preach on it enough. We certainly don't. But when you look in the Scriptures, what does the shedding of blood mean? What does it mean? Well, first of all, it's a reference to sin offerings. Isn't that what He's talking about here? Sin offerings. He said, "If a man through ignorance can sin against any of the commandments of the Lord, things that ought not to be done, and does them anyway, and if the priest that is anointed do sin, according to the sin of the people." So it's a sin offering. And when you refer to sin offerings and a sacrifice for sin offerings, it don't just mean suffering. It don't mean just suffering. It don't mean making the animal discomfortable or uncomfortable. It don't mean making sinners uncomfortable. It's not what it's talking about. Sin just don't make it. For it to be put away and dealt with, when you talk about the blood and the shedding of blood, it means unto death. When you find the blood in the Scriptures, it always means unto death. And that's what it means, suffering unto death. And I tell you something, it said here this is a sin offering for the priest and anybody else's sins. You know, the sin deserves death. Sin deserves death. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of people don't believe it. And when you're talking about punishment for sin, it's just not something that makes you uncomfortable. You know, and makes you feel bad about some things. But I'm telling you something, sin deserves death. It deserves punishment. Punishment. And there ain't a place that you can go over your sin into a place called purgatory and stay there for a while. And then if you get through with your sin suffering enough, you get to come out. There's nothing like that. God Himself told Adam, in the day you eat of that fruit of the knowledge of the tree and good and evil, you'll die. And when Adam took of that fruit, he said, in dying, thou shalt surely die. So what he said was, you're going to start dying today. When he rebelled against God and took of that fruit, he said, you're going to start dying today. And you know the first death he died? Separation from God. That's the first death. And then, beloved, he started dying from that day on until the day the scripture said, and Adam died. And I tell you, the sin deserves death. And I know this, that God Himself says this, the soul that sinneth shall surely, surely die. The wages of sin, men want to get God to pay them and be just with them. You be God deal with you justly outside of Christ, the wages of sin is death. Eternal death. And there's no way in the world to get around it. And so listen, here's the thing, sin deserves death. People don't think it does. And that's why most people don't know anything about sin. They don't know anything about it. But I tell you, if God, in His sovereign mercy, and I was telling Shirley about it, if He don't give you and make you to see the gospel, and make you see what sin deserves, and the only way sin can be put away, you could not believe it unless God revealed it to you. Huh? And then here's the thing about it. Our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute, our satisfaction, He had to suffer, not only suffer from the day He was born till the day He died, but beloved, He had to suffer unto death. He Himself had to suffer unto death. The only way, this is the most astounding things to me, the only way that God can uphold His holy law, He don't lower its standard for nobody. It's still holy and just and good. And I tell you, beloved, His justice that says the soul that sins shall die, had justice that demands the punishment for sin and the death of the sinner. He must justify. That justice has to be satisfied. His righteousness and the sentence passed upon the sinner must be executed. But how in the world is God going to execute sentence upon sin, execute death upon sin, and execute the sinner for his sin, and at the same time turn around and uphold that law and magnify it, satisfy His holy justice, declare His righteousness, and at the same time save people like us? How can He do that? Christ. Amen. Christ. That's why I tell you, if God didn't reveal it to you and teach this to you, you couldn't believe it. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what, for God to forgive us and justify sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man. Only God can satisfy God. Man can't satisfy God. And only God can do what God needs done for Him. But the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, He can satisfy God. Being man, He can die. Being man, He can bear sin. He Himself bore our sins in His own body. He was the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh. Christ was made a curse for us. Oh, there's the Reformer. And I was talking to Bruce. There's these Reformed guys that they just can't get over the idea that how do you make people live right if you don't bring them back under the law? If you don't give them the Ten Commandments to show them how to live? You know what the Bible says about that, even in the Old Testament? The just shall live by faith. And if Christ was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law, why in the world would you want to go back under that curse? Christ bore that curse. That law said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things to do it. Well, Christ came and did it all. And then He took the curse upon Himself. Oh, that's why God can be just. Bless His holy name. He can still be just like He's always been throughout eternity as long as He's been. And then when a man comes to Christ, God can look at that sinner and say, I justify you. I clear you of all guilt before me in the throne of God, in the thrones of heaven, and in heaven's portal itself. And I tell you, all the blood sacrifices under the law and under Moses was just typical of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ in the place instead of sinners. You know, our Lord told him in Luke 24, He told him, I don't know how many times, He said He started at Moses and all the prophets. He opened their understanding concerning the Scriptures, concerning Himself. Starting at Psalms. And oh, He opened the Scriptures to their understanding. And I tell you, I want you to see this. I quote it all the time, but look at it with me. Isaiah 53. Look here in Isaiah 53. We quote these verses of Scriptures, and then we never actually look at them to see what they say. This would be my creed. This would be my doctrine. This would be where I'd hang my hat to face God on eternity, right here on Isaiah 53. Huh? Look what it says here in verse 4. Oh, they all just was typical of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says. Surely. I mean, without a doubt, He hath borne our griefs. What griefs? The griefs that our souls would endure throughout eternity had not Christ bore them for us. That's the grief He's talking about. Being separated from God. And then not only that, but He carried our sorrows. Oh, He carried our sorrows. And He was acquainted with grief. And oh my, carried our sorrows. He borne our grief and carried our sorrows. The sorrows that we would not be accepted of God. And then we know that God struck him. God has smitten him and God afflicted him. How do we know He did that? The next verse says, but He was wounded. Why did God smite him? Why did God strike him? Why did God afflict him? Because He was wounded for our transgressions. Huh? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And you know who He came to find? You know who He came to save? All them sheep that was gone astray. And look what it says. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And you know how God brought us back? The Lord, Jehovah God, lay on Him the iniquity of us all. Oh my, huh? Well, all those blood sacrifices under Moses were just typical of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the place instead of sinners. And I tell you something else about this blood before the Lord. The animals that were sacrificed were always tame. Always tame. They didn't have to go out and catch a wild beast, throw a rope around its neck, put a chain around it, and drag it to where they could kill it. Drag it up there where they could offer, where they could kill it. No. They went and got lambs. They went and got baby goats. They went and got bullocks that had been kept in the stall. I mean, all these. It's like our Lord Jesus Christ. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He freely gave Himself up. And for our Lord Jesus Christ, He willingly laid down His life for His people. He did not resist it. He did not say, Father, if this cup won't, I'll take it. I want it. I got to have it. And oh my. And I tell you what, He laid down His life so willingly. And here's the thing, when He laid down His life, that means that He's going to be separated from His Father. He was going to be punished for sins, not His own. He's going to die for sins, not his own, but for all whom he represented as a substitute. Huh? Oh my. And then these animals had to be young males. Young males. Showing their strength right in the prime of their life. This bullock was a year old when they brought him in there. Young boy, year old. Signifying the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. The might of our Lord Jesus Christ. The excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another thing. They must be without spot. They must be without blemish. And that shows us that our Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Holy, 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 holy. Sinless and perfect in every way. And that's what he's talked about. Over in 1 Peter 1:19, 18, it says this. We've not come. We're redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. And you know what else it tells us? Over in Ephesians 4 and several Colossians, it says that He'll present us holy and without blemish and without blame. He was without blemish and without blame, and He's going to present us holy and without blemish and without blame. You know, if we know Him, naturally we got to be without blemish. You know, and the Scripture says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling it, sanctifies to the purifying of this flesh. Just when you bring that offering, He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, save you? Huh? And here's another thing about this blood before the Lord. The blood of the sin offering was to be poured out. Look down here in verse 7. Look in the middle of that verse. He said, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar for an offering. When He says the blood of the sin offering was to be poured out, you know what it said about our Lord Jesus Christ? He poured out His soul as an offering. Poured out His soul as an offering. And His blood had to be poured out. In order to be a true sin offering, His blood had to be poured forth. When that Roman soldier walked up to Him and took that spear, about that long, sharp, sharp, walked up to Christ and stuck it in His side and went up with it. You know what come out of it? Blood went to pouring out of it. Blood and water. And it wasn't just a trickle. You see these pictures, you know, of Wild Bill Hickok, as Tim Jane called him. But you know, you got that. He did have this little rip and little blood on his side. When that he did that, that blood just gushed out, just like pouring it out, taking a bucket and just... So you're talking about poured out. Poured out. And I tell you, it was poured out to where He had no life left in His body. And then I'm going to... Now let's look at this here. The blood shed before the Lord. Three times in these verses, the blood is said to be before the Lord. And here's the thing about it. Whether any man saw it or not, that was a very, very small account. You know why? Because it was before the Lord. Because it was before the Lord. When the Passover lamb was slain, and they put that blood over the lintel of the doors and on the side of the post, you know, those people inside, they couldn't see that blood. They couldn't see it. But you know who could see it? God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was God's side of the blood. And that's what it is right here. You'll shed this blood before the Lord. And that's where it's necessary to be before the Lord. And God said, and I'll tell you what, and this is the thing about it. God, He has to see the blood. You know, I was talking to a man today, and he said his wife was getting pretty bad shape with some things wrong with her mind and things like that. And I said, I'll tell you one good thing about it. She may get to where she don't know herself or anybody else, but I said, the Lord knows her. You see, that blood has been shed before the Lord. Huh? Christ shed His blood. You know where He took it, the first place He took it? Everybody wants to, and we do, we relate it to ourselves. But here's the thing that blesses my heart more than anything. For God could do anything for us, He had to do something for Himself. And that's why Christ came into this world, so God could do something for Himself. Satisfy Himself, honor Himself, glorify Himself. And He did all that in His blessed Son. And I tell you what, in that blood that was shed on that day, it was before the Lord. And God sees that blood. And I tell you, the suffering of our Lord and death of our Lord Jesus on behalf of His people was before the Lord. And this what that here's what happened. Here's what happened when Christ died before the Lord. This is what happened. God said, I'm going to declare I'm righteous. Where am I going to declare it? In the death of my Son. I'm going to honor my holiness. Where are you going to honor that? In the death of my Son. I'm going to satisfy my justice. How are we going to do that? In the death of my Son. Huh? I'm going to fulfill my purpose, my eternal purpose. Where at? In the death of my Son. Huh? And I tell you, God put Him on that cross. God Himself, by His determinate counsel and foreknowledge, delivered His Son up to the cross so that God could be just and justify sinners like ourselves. God Himself said, I'm a just God. We wouldn't have said, that's all He said, if He didn't have to say anything else, I'm a just God. He didn't have to say anything else. But you know what else He said? I'm a Savior too. I'm a Savior too. I'm not just judge. You know, if all He had ever done was told us He is just and dealt with us on that basis, no hope. But oh my, He justly put His Son to death, and now that soul that comes to Christ, God said, I'll justify them. I'll receive them. I'll receive them. Huh? Oh, listen. Let me tell you something else. This blood before the Lord, it doesn't change the character and doesn't change the nature of God. God's immutable. He's unchangeable. But it honors His holy nature. It honors His character. It honors His nature. And let me tell you something. The death of Christ is not the cause of God's love for us, but it's the result of it. God didn't say, well, I'm going to give my Son so I'll be enabled to love people. He gave His Son because He did love His people. Huh? Oh my. And God is not merciful to sinners because Christ died. Christ died because God is merciful to sinners. God said, I'm going to express my mercy. I'm going to express my love. I'm going to express my grace. And I'm going to express it in a way that will make the sinner so grateful and so thankful and give me all the glory for it, because I'll do it all in the Son. I love the world. I love people in Crossville, Tennessee. I love men. I love women. I love blacks. I love Chinese. I love sinners. So I send my Son. And I sent Him. And oh, why? So whoever believes on Him might have life, eternal life. Oh my, this idea that God loves everybody and Christ died and now God can be merciful because Christ died. Oh, listen. Christ died because God was merciful. I intend to show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. I intend to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And I'll do it in a just way through my blessed Son. Huh? Y'all, oh, God is love, God is merciful, God is gracious, but God is holy, God is just, and God is righteous. And all His attributes was honored in His blessed Son on that cross. Huh? And I tell you, He became a sacrifice and a sin offering for all His people. I want you to notice something there in verse 1. It said, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, which ought not to be done, and shall do any against to them. Now, you know how many sins we've committed and we're not even conscious that we've committed them? But it says there that that sinner has to have a sacrifice just like anybody else has one. He's ignorant of what he was doing. But he had to have a sacrifice. So of all the sins we're ignorant that we've committed, not conscious that we've committed, just getting out of bed and going through our day, how many times? Well, God had an offering for that too. Oh, bless His holy name. Now I want to show you a few things and wind this thing up. The blood, second thing, the blood was brought into the tabernacle and placed on the altar. Look what it says here in verse 5. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it into the tabernacle, the congregation. And oh, listen. And look what happens. First thing he did, verse 4. And first thing he has to do is he brings the bullock under the door of the tabernacle of congregation before the Lord. And he lays his hands on the head of that bullock. And kill the bullock before the Lord. First thing he has to do is he has to put his hand on. He got to identify with that victim. He got to identify with that dying bullock. So he laid his hands on the head of that bullock. And the symbolism of that and the emblematic is that his sins was put on the head of that bullock that was going to die. Now he got his sins on him. He's identified with him. And then he kills that before the Lord. And this teaches us this, that our sins were laid on Christ. And now what do we do? Oh, Scott, I've heard him preach on this. Oh, my goodness. He said, when you put that hands on the head of a sacrifice, press down on it. Put your hands on it, press down on it. Oh, listen, make sure that all your sins are there. Make sure they're all on Christ. Oh, listen, maybe it's the only place they can be. Huh? And then we turn around, and since He's our sacrifice, now we put our hands on Him by faith. Our hands reach out to Him by faith. We touch Him by faith. We're like the woman come up behind Him with the issue of blood. She touched Him by faith. It's like that. Huh? And I tell you, the shedding of that blood actually shows our Lord Jesus Christ's oneness with us. Did our Lord Jesus have human blood? He did. Yes, He did. And He is truly man. And as a man, He died. He died. And the shedding of His blood, the shedding of His blood shows the full payment of the debt. But you know why I know? Because all that blood, just like in that bullock, they drained the blood out of that bullock. And our Lord Jesus Christ's body was drained of its blood, showing that His blood paid all the sin debt and all the debt that we could have possibly owed to God Almighty. And I tell you, it's no longer in His veins. Where's it at? It's on the altar in the presence of God. Huh? And then He took that blood of the bullock, brought it into the tabernacle. Ain't that what He said? He said, the priest shall bring the bullock into the tabernacle. Take it in, and bring it in. Take the blood of the bullock in verse 5 and bring it into the tabernacle. Showing that our Lord Jesus Christ, He was that perfect tabernacle. And he entered into that tabernacle not made with hands, not like this one. But he entered into heaven itself with his own blood. Now, right now, and every time, I love this word now. It's like no, there's now no condemnation. Wherever you find the word now, every time you read it, it's now. And he entered once, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Right now, right this moment, entered into the presence of God for us with his own blood, having obtained the eternal redemption for us. And then look what the priest did here in verse 6. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times. Here we go again, before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now here's what happened. He took that blood in a basin. He went up right up to the veil where the holiest of holies at. Where the holiest of holies at, and not altar of incense at. He walked up to that veil and he dipped his finger in that blood 7 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh my. And that shows us the perfection of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what 7 means? It means perfection. Completeness. Perfection. Well, I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, death is effectual, it's perfect, and it satisfied God, and it satisfies us. And let me show you something else here right quick. Look in verse 7. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. Oh my. When they made that ark, that censer, that golden ark with the fragrance on it, they made corners on it that stood up. And what he would do is he'd take that blood and put it on the altar, on that altar. You know what that tells us? That sweet altar of incense, ain't that what it calls the sweet altar of sweet incense before the Lord? You know what that tells us? That the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of His people, you know what that means? That means the sweet incense of His prayers and the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood on that altar of sweet incense shows us the power of that intercession. You know what he pleads before God? He pleads his own blood. Pleads his own sacrifice. And the only way in the world our sin could be put away was that. And his blood speaks for us now in the presence of God. And his blood on the altar shows this. The fulfillment of the covenant of blood. Hebrews 13:20 says this. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh my. Let me look over here with me. I want you to see this. Hebrews 9:16. You need to see this. I know we've looked at this before, but it's worth looking at again so we can understand it a little better. You know, a covenant is a testament. Same thing as a testament or a will. And you know, in all of us has probably got a last will and testament. All of us got one. You know, and people and they have powers of attorney and all that kind of stuff to take care of people when they get in bad shape. But now look, I'm going to tell you something. Your last will and testament is just nothing but paper and ain't worth nothing until you die. And when you die, they say, where's the will at? Let's find that will. We'll see what we're going to get. Got to look at that will. See what we got coming. Well, listen to me now. Christ died. Now listen to me. Yeah, look what it says here. Verse 16. For a testament is, or a will is, there must also, of necessity, be the death of the testator, the one who made the will and the testament. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, there's no strength at all while the testator lives. And I tell you what, you know what our Lord Jesus Christ did? He fulfilled God's will and testament. And you know what? He lives. He inherited everything. And He lives to make sure we get our inheritance. He lives to make sure we get just exactly what was in that will of God for us. You reckon we'll get it? And you know what? He sits in God's right hand to guarantee that we'll one day, our inheritance will surely, surely, truly be there. And so let me tell you this in closing. I told you not to say in conclusion, but this will help you a little bit. I'll just do that for your sake. You know, in conclusion, His blood, His sacrifice gives acceptance to our persons and gives acceptance to our worship. If we come in here to worship tonight, the only reason why our worship's acceptable, because of Him. Huh? You see, His blood removes the sin of our worship, the sins of our prayers, the sins of our works. All of our righteousness are as a filthy rag. And He takes all of our righteousness and throws them away, and we have His. Huh? And His blood enables us. The high priest, the only one could go behind the veil. But now we ourselves can enter into the holiest of holy, into the presence of God by a new and living way, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every prayer, every act of worship, every praise, every work of faith is only acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you ask why God blesses us, there can only be one reason. Only one reason. You know, preachers tell people all the time, if you'll do this, God will bless you. If you do that, God will bless you. But I know this, God only blesses us for Christ's sake. And that suits me just fine. I don't have to go out here and earn one. I don't have to muster one up. Our Father, oh, our blessed Savior, thank You for Your gospel. Oh, the wonderful gospel of blood, the gospel of righteousness, the gospel of righteousness declared, the gospel of a just God that can come. And You said Yourself in Your word, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And why no one can lay a charge to God's elect is because that Christ died. Not only did He die, but Lord, He rose again. And even now sits at Your right hand with all power, all authority vested in Him. And Lord, we gladly bow to Him and accept everything that You have for us in Christ and believe that all we ever have and all we ever will have is in our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. Keep them, preserve them, keep them healthy, keep them safe, and keep us all loving You, needing You, and cleaving to You for Christ's sake. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. See you Sunday morning, God willing.